there's an awful lot that scientists can learn from the past about fossils. But one particular extinct species is proving a very tough nut to crack. Dwarf elephants last roamed the Earth more than 10,000 years ago. About a metre tall, fully grown, they're even considered by some to be responsible for the legend of the one-eyed cyclops. But although they've been studied for 150 years, fundamental information about dwarf elephants is still missing, and no one's exactly sure how the different species evolved. Paleontologist Victoria Herridge from London's Natural History Museum is part of an international project trying to solve the mystery. Victoria studies dwarf elephant fossils found on a number of Mediterranean islands, and Sue Nelson went to meet her in one of the museum's basement stores.
In here we have a whole drawer full of dwarf elephant teeth from Cyprus, and they're all different sizes, but most of them are smaller than the size of my hand, which sounds quite big for a tooth, but for an elephant tooth, that's absolutely tiny. They have six teeth through their life, and as the elephant grows bigger, the teeth grow bigger. So the smaller teeth are actually the teeth of younger elephants. It seems that on islands, when big animals become isolated there, they tend to evolve to become smaller, and conversely, the small animals, like mice and rats, tend to evolve to become larger, which is an interesting phenomenon we call the island rule.
As this project wants to look at the different environmental changes and the effect that had on the species, I assume then that that means that you suspect that the change in climate had something to do with their evolution, why they became the size they did, and perhaps why they became extinct as well.
Yes, certainly a possibility. If you look at modern-day islands, we know that the number of species that live on an island is related to how big the island is and also how difficult it is to get to that island from the mainland. So because there's this relationship, it seems sensible to assume that islands in particular and the animals that live on them might be affected by sea level change. So if the sea level was to rise, as we fear it might do in the next few years, you would effectively see a greater impact of that on islands. So using that as a starting point, we then thought, well, the period that we're interested in, which is called the Quaternary, so the last 2.5-3 million years, a lot of that was characterised by these shifts between ice ages and warm stages, and that will then be followed by a rise in sea level. So we think, for instance, at the peak of the last ice age, the sea level was 120 metres or so lower than it is now.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite an extreme difference. But because it's happened several times, so about every 100,000 years, what you've got there is a repeated example of this situation changing. So we aren't looking at the effects of the climate per se, it's more the associated impacts of that climate change, i.e. sea level change, that may affect the environment in which animals find themselves. Now, Sicily is very, very close to mainland Italy, but the sea that separates the two is about 100 metres or so deep, and so 120 metres of sea level drop would join Sicily to the mainland. It would also, interestingly, join Malta to Sicily. And so at low sea level, what you might get is, if you like, the mainland kind of reaching out and encompassing Sicily and Malta, and that would become part of the mainland. Now, when the climate shifted again and you got a change from, say, an ice age back to a warm stage, then, of course, sea level would rise and you'd find yourself with two islands, Sicily and Malta. And the animals that were there that had effectively been mainland animals until that sea level change now become isolated on these islands. And it's following that isolation that the evolution towards becoming smaller, we think, happened. So we're wondering whether or not you can effectively associate some of these species with some of those climatic-driven sea level changes of the past. If I just lift up this very heavy tooth here.
Yeah, you need two hands.
Yeah, two hands. This is not going to fit in one hand. This is, you can hear how heavy it is from the clunk there. But this is a straight tusk elephant tooth from Clacton-on-Sea in Essex. So we had straight tusk elephants in the UK, but that species actually stretched all the way across Europe, down to the far south, so into Greece, into Italy, which makes sense because we think that was probably the ancestral species of these dwarf elephants that somehow reached these islands, perhaps at low sea level, and then became isolated on those islands when the sea level rose again. And when it was isolated there, it evolved from being very, very large, so a straight-tusked elephant would have been about 4 metres tall, much taller than the African elephant, which comes in about just over 3 metres, would have weighed about 10 tonnes. Contrast that again with the African elephant, the largest living land mammal, was about 7 tonnes. And that it would have evolved on those islands to something as tiny as this 1 metre tall species. And that's a very extreme example of evolutionary change. And it's a wonderful example because it obviously happened again and again on different islands. And because it happened so many times, starts to give us, if you like, a natural experiment. These islands are kind of like a natural laboratory for evolution in real space and time. And it's a really neat potential way of getting a handle on how quickly evolution happens and potentially how and why it happens. And that's why studying these elephant species potentially will give us greater insight into much broader evolutionary and biological trends.
You can hear that report from Sue Nelson with more news from the natural world in the Planet Earth podcast. Find that at thenakedscientist.com/planet Earth.